Hi, I'm Rob Nesbitt and this is the Pro Cartoon Podcast. I look at the tools of the trade, tips, tricks, podcast reviews and interviews and more to help you in your cartooning and artistic work. In episode 3 of the Pro Cartoon Podcast, I look at ways for you to come up with cartoon ideas. There's nothing worse than staring at a blank piece of paper with not a spark of inspiration. I discuss how you can significantly boost your chances of finding work and generating income on the internet. You have great skills to create fantastic images which can be used to enhance website blogs, posts and articles. There's money to be made here, it's just being able to sell yourself and your product in the right way to convert those opportunities. Website owners need images to make their copy stand out. I discovered how to get them to want your artwork with a simple but deadly sales formula that has a proven track record. The XP Deco 01 is a recent addition to the graphics drawing tablet market. I was asked by xppen.com to review it, and I really believe that this will be a big hit in 2018. Before I dive into the main topics, here's a quick word about getting your cartoons published if it hasn't happened already. There are a few things that can stop this happening. It may be that you don't have the confidence to put your head above the parapet and get your work out there. You might also think that your cartoons are not good enough. Maybe you have thought about it but have not yet taken action. Perhaps it's just bad luck and you haven't been successful yet. I struggled at first mainly because I lacked confidence in my own ability and I didn't really think I could match the skills of some of the great cartoonists you see on the internet and in the newspapers. It actually took a lucky break to make me realise that anyone within reason can get published and paid for their drawing skills. It was back in early 2002 when I read an article in Brass Band World magazine. The Turner Prize is an annual award sponsored by the Tate Gallery in London for the most outstanding British artist exhibit. I play in a British-style brass band and was delighted to see that an artist called Cornelia Parker had been given a £50,000 commission for a work called Breathless, which consisted of a crushed set of brass band instruments set in between two huge round glass windows. I thought it was visually very appealing, particularly as it was being displayed in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. And I thought it was great to see brass bands featuring in such a prestigious landmark, albeit as flat as a pancake. However, there was uproar in the musical press as people were outraged that a perfectly good set of brass instruments had been flattened. The main critic was the Churchill Society, which was founded in 1968 to educate new generations on the leadership, statesmanship, vision, courage and boldness of Sir Winston Churchill. Most of the instruments had had their day anyway, but it just seems to me that people just love to be outraged or offended these days. I took a completely different view and was offended that they were outraged. When you compare her artwork to some of the nominees and winners of the world-famous Turner Prize, I think she stands head and shoulders above them. The Turner Prize, which is a very large cash prize attached, is awarded to a British artist, and there have, in my humble opinion, been some strange winning entries. A cow and its calf sawn in half and pickled in glass cases, and an empty room with a light going on and off are two examples of past winners. I use this angle to demonstrate the point that Cornelia Parker's work was a worthy project in comparison. I fired off a letter to the editor, and just to give it a bit of visual sparkle, I added a cartoon of Winston Churchill looking angrily at an exhibit entitled Pickled Conductor in A-flat. To my astonishment, the letter was published with the cartoon. The editor of Brass Band World magazine, the late Bob Mulholland, rung me and offered me the cartoonist job in the magazine. I didn't even have to ask. He said that they had not had a cartoon in the magazine, but after seeing the reaction from some of the readers to my illustration, he thought it might be a good idea. Nearly 16 years later, I'm still the resident cartoonist in the magazine, and thankfully have improved my drawing skills since then. Incidentally, my first submission wasn't really that good, but it still got me the gig, so you don't have to be a Disney cartoonist or Charles Schulz to get your name in lights. So where am I going with this? I managed by sheer serendipity and a little bit of drawing skill and luck to get a permanent published cartoon spot in a magazine. It just goes to prove you don't have to be a brilliant artist to get there. many years after the event and realise that it's the whole package of a cartoon that makes it good, or not in some cases, not necessarily the artistic capability. I've seen many cartoonists who earn good money from amateurish looking drawings, but they have great punchlines or have the knack of making people laugh without a caption. It's all down to the giggle ponder factor. Make them laugh or provoke thought with a cartoon and you're on to a winner. It also got me thinking about how I could get another cartoon spot in a magazine. So here's a tip. Next time you're looking through the newsstand, either in a store or online, see if there are magazines and other publications that don't have a cartoonist or maybe don't feature cartoons in their articles. As an example, I did this more recently with a new magazine called Fire and Security Matters. I received a copy of the pilot magazine, as I am also in the fire safety business. I immediately saw an opportunity as there was no cartoon in sight. There were plenty of photos of buildings, fire extinguishers, fire trucks, burglar alarms, graphs and other images along those lines, but no cartoons. I emailed the editor with about 3 fire safety related cartoons and asked the question. And guess what? I'm now the cartoonist for that magazine. Someone told me years ago that if you don't ask, you don't get. And I've always asked when I see an opportunity. If you're looking to have your work published, check out local and national magazines and see if there are any that don't use cartoons, and then ask. So going back to my own project, here's a progress report. I made several resolutions for 2018 in the last podcast. One was to finish my children's picture book by June. I'm making good progress and determined to achieve the target. When I reach this particular goal, I will post an article on the process, as it has been very interesting. There's more to it than meets the eye. It isn't just about drawing and painting. I wrote the story for the book as I wanted to make this totally my own project. I may collaborate in the future with a storyteller, but for now it's just I, me and myself. It is possibly more difficult to do it yourself than working in a collaboration, as that automatic motivation factor of not wanting to let someone down is not there. As I have shared this ambition with you, I now feel motivated to put my money where my mouth is and get this book published. I will keep you posted. So far, I've written the storyline in verse, pencil sketched out half the drawings. I scrapped the other half as I was not happy with them and will redo them. I've completed one illustration in full colour and working on another 2. There'll be about 16 illustrations in total, so it's going to be a really busy 4 months to reach my target. Another goal was to produce 2 pro cartoon podcasts a month. So far, I'm on target to achieve this and really enjoy making them. In future episodes, I'll be interviewing different cartoonists and people from cartoon and art-related businesses and services to make this more interesting and diverse. I also said that I'd be aiming to create my own products. This week, I've been out shopping. I've bought tools for my Driftwood cartoon figures. I finished the first one a while ago, but I'm on the road to making a whole commune of these little cartoon people. Etsy is the target sales channel in addition to Pro Cartoon. My goal for this particular product is still set for the summer around about August. I could do it sooner, but feel that I need to have a range of figures on offer to get a feel for how viable this will be. I'm also looking at some passive art projects where I make the designs for products that are purely downloadable. It's the best way to sell if you can find the right products and designs. You make the product, set it up online and forget about it and move on to the next design. This can be anything from painted by numbers pages, shopping list designs and many more downloadable items. I recently bought a course on selling downloadable products on Etsy. Kelsey Baldwin has done it successfully and making a living from selling and producing courses on how to sell. It's an interesting concept and a great way to provide another income stream from your work. I'll be discussing this income stream on a future podcast. Here's a quick word from this edition of the podcast sponsor, johnoverall.com, who is a website hosting WordPress specialist. John Overall is the joint host with Marcus Couch on the WP Plugins A to Z podcast, which reviews great plugins for your WordPress website. John Overall also provides hosting for my website on his company server. John has been amazingly helpful in converting all my sites to the secure HTTPS format and has been brilliant at finding bugs, increasing my site speed and giving great advice on plugins, new themes and more. I now have an expert at the end of the phone and on Skype, and no longer feel that I'm in the dark about the technical mysteries of running a website. And he charges a very reasonable rate. Here's John.
2018 is a year of growth. Your website should reflect the growth and change within your business. Show your customers where you are going in 2018 by letting johnoverall.com work with you to update your website. Let johnoverall.com take the work and worry out of maintaining and caring for your website with our maintenance program, hosting, emergency repair services, and more. While you're caring for your business, let johnoverall.com care for your website. Think of us when you think of WordPress. Visit johnoverall.com.
Okay, let's dive straight into this episode's main topics. First on the list is meeting artistic deadlines, how to find great ideas for your cartoons in a hurry. Many of you will be able to relate to the following tale of woe. A request arrives to do a cartoon. There's a deadline of 2 weeks, you are given the subject matter, you're being paid, couldn't be more perfect. However, you keep putting it off, as there is 2 weeks to do it. 1 week, 6 days, and 15 hours later, you are now in a blind panic. Does this sound familiar? I used to be in this scenario on a regular basis as I was working as a full-time firefighter with two small children, and life was full-on and pretty hectic. I realised that I had to make better use of my time and manage deadlines. I also realised that sometimes a deadline can be very short, as other things either get in the way or the client needs your artwork like yesterday. So here are the ways in which I find cartoon inspiration when my mind has temporary artistic amnesia. I use a form of mind mapping to come up with ideas. I've done a full article that you can read on this process. If you click the link, you can view the article. It basically works like this. I get a sheet of paper and I put the main topic in a circle in the middle of the page. I draw four rectangles, north, south, east and west, around the central theme topic. From a dictionary, I select four random words. So I'll flick through the pages, just pick four out totally at random, and place each one in a rectangle. Around each rectangle, I place three oval shapes, giving 12 in total, and fill each one with a word selected again at random from a dictionary. If you look at the show notes, there is a diagram showing this. Pick out the main topic and any word from a rectangle and any word from an oval shape. In the example in the show notes, these words chosen were dog, which was the main theme, trumpet, and rolls. The example I've given was one I actually used for a cartoon in Brass Band World magazine. The result was a bandsman whose sight was challenged, using his guide dog to play the trumpet at a solo competition. The judges are stood at the back of the stage looking through the rules book. The end result was a very good visual cartoon. This method works really well for me, and hopefully it will for you too. It's got me out of trouble on so many occasions in the past. I'm truly thankful to Tony Buzan, who's written many books on the subject of mind mapping. I use mind maps for many things, and it was instrumental in helping me get my university degree and passing exams in the fire service. It's well worth considering if you do get stuck. And if you're not familiar with Tony Buzan, there's a link in the show notes and you can have a look at his books. The other method I use is using existing cartoons to generate new cartoon ideas. I don't advocate direct copying, as it can get you into all sorts of trouble and saps away artistic integrity. I firmly believe that most cartoons have been used before. What I mean is that they are variations of a previous cartoon, recycled and repurposed. If I get stuck for ideas, I use this recycling process and either go on a search engine and look for cartoon images, or I'll trawl through my library of cartoons. I keep everything I've ever drawn. I have over 35 years of work saved, and thankfully, through a weird strain of a hoarding disorder, I have a huge library of my own work. Collecting other cartoonists' books and work is a passion, particularly original artwork, as it fascinates me how they actually did the drawings. I find it easy to find ideas studying and repurposing my own work and the work of other cartoonists. However, the rule of thumb is that I use the concept of an existing cartoon but make it absolutely my own, so I don't feel any guilt or hint of plagiarism. So I'll find something funny and give it enough twist or turn to make it fresh. These are the two main ways I use to overcome any temporary cartoon block. Before I move into the next topic, here's a shout out to all cartoonists who would like some free advertising for their products or services. If you are a cartoonist and would like to advertise your services, I'm setting up a section on procartoon.com for cartoonists and other artists to showcase their talents. The first 10 that apply will get free ad placement. To apply, simply contact me, Rob Nesbitt, via the contact page on procartoon.com. Send me an outline of what you do, what you have to offer, plus contact details, and I will send out the format to submit your free ad space, which will be a page to yourself plus images of your work, contact details, etc. If you sign up for the ProCartoon newsletter, you'll be kept up to date with new articles and features. As a subscriber, you will automatically be entered in our regular prize draws. Just visit the About page on ProCartoon.com to sign up for the newsletter. I'm also on the lookout for cartoonists to interview on this podcast. The only criteria I have is that either you are a published cartoonist, what I mean by that is you're paid regularly for your work in national magazines, newspapers, online, or maybe a children's book illustrator, or you have a cartoon-related or art-related business that would be of interest and relevance to our readers and subscribers. Send me a short message via the procartoon.com contact page and we can discuss a podcast. Okay, back to the plot. Okay, moving on to the next topic. So website owners need images for articles and blog posts. Why not your artwork? In the last podcast, I looked at how you could create or repurpose existing cartoons to make your own prints to sell. It isn't as difficult as you might think and can be a great source of income. In this section, I'm going to talk about another way of selling your artwork that you may not have considered. There are literally millions of websites on the internet and all of them needing images, photos, diagrams and illustrations to turn plain text into a visual experience. The attention span on the internet can be very short, if not entertaining visually and mentally stimulated. Website owners and managers have a huge thirst for images and they have to either create the images themselves, buy stock images, get permission to use other people's work, or run the risk of using someone else's without their permission, and what I mean by that is illegal infringement of copyright. The latter runs the risk of legal action and a hefty fine, and I know of several instances where fines exceeding $1,000 have been imposed for misuse of photographic data. This need for images is a huge opportunity for you. If people are willing to buy image licenses from the likes of Shutterstock, why wouldn't they be willing to buy from you? Fiverr.com and 99designs.com are two online companies who have really made a killing out of this need. I run several websites and I'm so thankful that I can create my own original art cartoon designs tailor-made for each article when I need them. It saves me a fortune and although it takes time, I always get exactly what I want when I want it. There are many times when I've approached other webmasters and have sold cartoons or used cartoons as a bargaining chip. I'll give you some examples that could work for you. So I troll the net and look for genres that need some help with illustrations. Websites like cookery blogs and travel blogs usually have loads of interesting photos for the readers to appreciate. I'm not saying that these should be avoided, it's just that you will probably be less of an attractive proposition to someone who would and should have photos of their very visual topic. On saying that, an illustration or cartoon aimed at the right audience can always have a good chance of success. So, picking the right topic. My advice is to pick a topic that's rather crusty, such as a financial blog, which can be a real gem. Finance and other guidance websites often rely on bland diagrams, charts and boring symbols to pep up their article text. This is where you can really appeal with your unique, colourful and refreshing illustrations. Imagine you're the owner of a financial advice blog, talking about which financial institutions are the best to invest in. What images would you use? You'd probably be looking for images relating to money, notes and coins, money box, sacks of cash, down and out without a dime, maybe financial building, a couple happy with money, an older person withdrawing the money, a new car, savings chart, or maybe a happy retirement. Now, where are you going to get them from? Obviously, there are some that are easy to source, such as images of coins and notes, but getting the right image of a happy couple looking at the retirement nest egg could be a bit trickier. If you had someone on board who can do the illustrations for a whole article, wouldn't that solve a huge problem? Not all websites have a budget to spend on content illustration. Do some research to get a feel for those sites that are featuring well in the search engine rankings. If they're doing well and appearing in the top few sites, they're probably making a few bucks and maybe enough to support an illustration budget. There's no reason that that part of the budget couldn't be to pay you. The bottom line is, why can't it be you? What is the bottleneck that is stopping you from getting paid work from websites? It may be that you haven't thought about it before, or you've just dismissed it out of hand. So how could you make this happen? Firstly, you have to get your cartoons noticed. Right, so the customer has to know that you exist. They have to know that you are out there. It's no good sitting and waiting for them to come to you, as this isn't going to happen. And second, they have to know what you can do for them. Sounds easy? Not really, as artists are good at what they do best, which is creating great artwork, but often not so good at selling their services. The sales pitch has to be so compelling that you will get a reaction which should lead to work. I listened to a lot of podcasts, and one that really made me sit up and listen was episode 106 of the High Income Business Writing podcast, hosted by Ed Gandini and featuring Kevin Rogers. Kevin is an ex-stand-up comedian who, through a series of serendipitous experiences, became one of the top copywriters in the US. He demonstrates a well-known joke formula to show how it can be altered to a really effective sales pitch. Here's a great example of a joke told by the comedian Karen Rontowski on The Letterman Show. I've included the YouTube video link of Karen Rontowski on The Letterman Show, which you can watch on my podcast show notes. The joke went like this. My kids were so bad in Walmart that I actually pulled a fly swatter off the shelf and I spanked them. Just as the fly swatter hit their ass, I thought, I don't have kids. It's a great joke because it has an unexpected ending and is set in a specific formula. So here's the joke formula. Kevin demonstrated that the joke formula has four distinct parts that really work for comedians. And those four parts are identity, struggle, discovery, and surprise. The identity is the mother shopping at Walmart. The struggle is the mother's kids playing up. The discovery is the fly swatter found on the shelf. And the surprise is the mother realizing she's just beaten two kids when she doesn't actually have any. Moving on to the sales pitch formula. As a copywriter and comedian, Kevin Rogers uses this formula to demonstrate how it can be applied as a sales pitch. He made a small tweak in the last stage to provide a lethal formula for selling. And those four stages are now identity, struggle, discovery, and result. Here's an example to demonstrate how this works. I've used a customer's viewpoint to make the sales pitch. Hi, I'm Joe Bloggs and I own a financial advice website. Finding images for my site is difficult and very time consuming. I discovered ProCartoon, who have a great service supplying custom cartoons. I get fantastic images, leaving me to do what I do best, writing the copy and promoting my website. In this example, you can clearly see the four stages of the sales pitch formula. The identity, hi, I'm Joe Bloggs and I own a financial advice website. The struggle, finding images for my website is difficult and very time consuming. The discovery, I discovered ProCartoon, have a great service supplying custom cartoons. And the result, I get fantastic images leaving me to do what I do best, the copy and promoting my website. It's an excellent way to pitch your talents. If you would like to see more of this method, visit Kevin Rogers' website, copychief.com, where there is a free PDF download, The 60-Second Sales Hook, in which he explains the system in more detail. It's well worth looking at. Okay, so you now have a sales pitch. Next, you need to get it in front of the eyes of website owners and managers. But before that, you need to have something tangible to show them. A portfolio of work and an example of a blog post or an article with your artwork enhancing the text. Not all of us can put a blog post together or a serious article for a website. It takes a lot of practice to get it right, and I know this to be true as I'm still trying. If you can't write the copy, then you need to get someone to do it for you. Make it substantial. A blog post of about 2,000 words and illustrate it with lots of your own artwork. to the best artwork you have ever done, as it will be the make or break of your sales pitch. Put it into PDF format so it's easy to email and will be a rock-solid attachment that won't get corrupted in transit. You could also use your illustrated post as a lead magnet as part of your sales pitch and direct potential customers back to your website with your fabulously illustrated article as a lead magnet demo. Having your own platform is essential and needs to be exceptionally good. A website is the best option. As you're trying to pitch website owners, it just makes logical sense to have a high-quality website to show what you can do. You could base the platform on social media, such as Facebook or Twitter, but to be honest, if you want to get the best result, a website is top of the list. One other thing, if you're emailing any prospective website owners, put at least one of your cartoons in the message so that they have a visual as soon as they open it. Most spammy sales calls these days are emails with boring text. Make yours different, and if you can add an image related to their site that makes them laugh, you will get noticed. Moving on, the XP Pen Deco 01 Graphics Drawing Tablet. I was recently asked by xppen.com to have a look at the XP Pen Deco 01 Graphics Drawing Tablet. Before I contemplate endorsing any product or making a review, I always check out the product online before agreeing to look at it. If a product is well below par, maybe with bad reviews, I usually decline gracefully. In this case, the Deco 01 has very good reviews and really does look the business. I fired off an email to xppen.com in late November last year and agreed to review the tablet for Pro Cartoon. I won't bore you to death with a techno babble, I'll just stick to my overall view of the product. If you have a look at the show notes for Podcast 3 or my comprehensive review of the XP Pen Deco 01, you can see all the images and screenshots. It also gives a lot more technical detail. The XP Pen Deco 01 is a really nice looking tablet that is well laid out with two banks of express keys on the side. The tablet is rectangular and 13.5 by 8.5 inches and is a nice size to carry around as a mobile device. It is also very slim at 8mm thick. Every manufacturer these days seems to be obsessed with making electrical devices either as small, thin or as compact as possible. My main concern when I first saw the Deco 01 was, would it be strong enough to withstand my less than delicate handling? The tablet is well bonded together and appears very strong with no flexing. I used the tablet for 3 weeks and found it to be very robust, so there are no issues there. This graphics tablet is really stylish to look at and comes in a matte black finish. It has some nice features, including what I would call landing lights to indicate the active area, which is the area you can draw on, which will be transmitted to your computer. There are small white right angles on the surface of the tablet that light up. You can see where the active area is even in total darkness. It's a nice feature and quite a flashy touch. The active drawing area itself is a healthy 10 inches by 6.25 inches, which gives plenty of scope without being restrictive. The tablet came in a really strong flip-top box, which for me was a big thumbs up, as it didn't mean I had to immediately buy an additional cover. Also included was a graphics anti-snag tablet glove, a nice touch as well. The Deco 01 battery-free stylus pen is slimline and ergonomically shaped with a rounded triangular profile. My favourite drawing pen is the Lamy calligraphy pen, which has this similar ergonomic design, and this one has the same feel about it. During rigorous use, it's always felt comfortable in hand, even when I was drawing for hours on end. The pen stand has a twist-off base containing 8 spare nibs. The stand is quite weighty for its 1.5 inch square size and sits solidly on the work surface. Talking of which, the tablet has 4 rubber pads on the back, which have a tactile neoprene feel. The tablet sits like a rock on any work surface. Okay, a quick word about setting the tablet up. I often have a huge problem with any new gadget. I hate setups and just want it to be as painless as possible. The Deco 01 is one of the easiest setups I've ever experienced. Once you've downloaded the driver app from the xppen.com website, you've access to the app window on your computer. This allows you to easily change the settings to your preference. As an example, you can change to left or right-hand use and change the pen button control settings very quickly. The express key functions are preloaded and you have the option to swap them around to suit your own preference. While we're on the Express keys, a quick mention on their design. The round buttons are spaced well in banks of four and are not too small. The layout is perfect to access without getting in the way. Some tablets are too much into looking good and sometimes forget that artists have to use them. So the most important aspect now is the drawing experience. I used this graphics drawing tablet for a 3-week period and have to say it was an absolute pleasure to draw with. The slightly tactile surface of the Deco 01 gives it a perfect feel and flow. The enhanced report rate of the tablet is evident with no apparent lag between the pen and the drawn image appearing on the screen. The report rate is the speed at which the action of this pen stylus nib upon the surface appears on your computer monitor. I also really like the pen drawing experience, which is now at 8,192 levels of pressure sensitivity and seems to be the new norm. It's great to see technological advances in graphics drawing tablet specification getting closer to the real thing. So, in conclusion, the XP Pen Deco 01 ticks all the boxes for me. My overall opinion is positive in all aspects, and I see this as a tablet that will really sell well this year and give the Wacom Intuos range a worthy competitor. Wacom have dominated the small and medium drawing pad market over the last couple of years, mainly because of the quality they offer and the included software. XP Pen have come up with a challenger which, although doesn't include a free graphics software package, is priced so competitively that this doesn't really matter. Yes, the Deco 01 is one to look out for this year, and if you're starting out in the graphics world or want a low-price quality drawing pad packed with easy-to-use features, this could be the way to go. It's also an exceptionally good drawing pad for those on-the-go artists or as a second more mobile pad. I'm very impressed. You can see the full report with detailed setup screenshots in my comprehensive review of the XP Pen Deco 01, which the link is on the show notes. Okay, that just about wraps up this podcast. In this edition, I've looked at ways to find ideas for your cartoons when you get really stuck. I've looked at a great new sales pitch so you can approach website owners to sell your cartoons to them. And I've given you a good overview of the XP Pen Deco 01 graphics tablet, which I think will be a great prospect for 2018. Okay, so thanks for listening to the Pro Cartoon Podcast, and I'll catch you on the next one.